let's look at the aspects of service quality. So when we talk about the service quality, what would be the different elements or aspects of service quality? Completeness. Completeness of service delivery. The product or the service needs to be complete as defined in the service level agreement or the statement of work. Availability. Products, services, resources need to be available. Technology, the technology uptime. Systems, machines, they need to be working 100% or 99% as it was agreed to in the agreement. Reliability, how reliable the vendor is once the implementation of the contract starts. So they would have made a lot of promises while the agreement was being negotiated. We would have done certain due diligence, we would have captured some feedback from the market. However, the reality is revealed only when the implementation starts. So is the vendor as reliable as they promised or as we perceive them to be? Capacity, the capacity of the vendor. There may be instances where we may need the vendor to increase the number of resources or increase the production quantity. So does the vendor has the capacity to increase the production value or add more resources as and when we require? In case if we do not require the vendor to increase resources, but if the vendor signs other contracts with some other clients, would they have a resource crunch? And how would that affect the delivery of our contract? Flexibility of the vendor. So while we are reviewing a performance or when we start getting feedback from the end customers, we may need to adapt to those feedbacks. So we may need to make certain changes to how the contract is being delivered. We may need to make changes to the standard operating procedures. So we may follow a change management process as would have been agreed to in the contract. However, how flexible is the vendor organization when it comes to accepting changes and adapting to changes? Responsiveness. So we may identify a certain defect or delays from the client or vendor representatives, or we may foresee a risk or a threat to performance. We may start sharing our feedback, but how responsive is the vendor organization? Or if our vendors directly interact with our end customers and our end customers share certain feedback or views, which we may not have a complete visibility into, but how responsive is the vendor to the feedback and the comments shared by our end users? So how flexible and responsive is the vendor organization? Security, data security. We spoke about having clauses for intellectual property rights in the contract. But how secure is our data when we share it with the vendor? Data with respect to our end customers. And then comes accuracy, accuracy of work, usability, auditability. We may need to audit the vendor regularly. Satisfaction. Satisfaction with the entire delivery. Satisfaction of the client stakeholders. How satisfied is the project manager with the performance of the vendor? How satisfied are the key stakeholders, the senior executives? How satisfied is our end customer or end user in case they interact with the vendor representatives? Or once we start delivering the products and the services to the end customer, what is their reaction? How satisfied they are? So there are different aspects of how we measure, track, and monitor the quality of service being delivered by the service provider. So let's look at the risks involved in the delivery of service. What could go wrong? What could be something that could be a threat to the delivery of service? Lack of capacity. As discussed, the vendor organization may not be able to increase the number of resources when we ask them to. Or they may not be able to increase the volume of production. Or, as discussed earlier, they may sign up other contracts and there could suddenly be a resource crunch. So lack of resources would start hurting us, our agreement, our delivery. So lack of capacity with the vendor will be one of the risks or threats to the delivery of service. Not just quality, but even meeting the delivery guidelines in with respect to time. Key staff on the vendor side are redeployed elsewhere. So they sign other contracts, maybe contracts that are more profitable compared to the work that we have outsourced. Hence, key staff, the best of the software developers, their project managers are redeployed for some other contract. So this would start affecting the quality of delivery for our requirement, eroding the quality of service provided. The vendor's business focus moves to other areas after contract award. So as we discussed the example of one of the vendors where we mentioned that this vendor's primary focus is on top line growth. So they would go to all levels to the extent to sign the contract with the client. Once that's done, once revenue is guaranteed for them, then they will start chasing newer clients because their primary business focus is top line growth, not client satisfaction, not quality of service. Hence, if such a vendor is awarded the contract, their business focus may move or would move to other areas, getting new clients, getting new contracts after the contract is awarded. This would directly impact and negatively impact the quality of delivery, reducing the added value for the customer in the arrangement. So if the key executives of the vendor organization lose focus in the delivery of the agreement, it would obviously impact the overall service quality. Vendor's financial standing deteriorates after contract award, eventually endangering their ability to maintain agreed levels of service. So while we negotiated and we screened the vendor's quality and qualification for our outsourcing requirement, their financial standing was as per what we required. But it may happen that after a couple of months, they may lose some of the other clients. And suddenly, all of a sudden, their financial standing deteriorates. And this would impact them being able to invest in resources to meet our outsourcing deliverables and guidelines. So what happens when this could happen? This is a potential risk. Demand for a service is much greater than expected and the vendor cannot cope. Again, it relates to capacity of the vendor to add more resources or increase the volume of production. Force majeure, factors which are not under our control, a flood or an earthquake or a war. So factors beyond the vendor's control disrupt delivery. So what best can happen in this situation is we may have a business continuity and a disaster recovery plan. However, that would not be equivalent to the original delivery location or the original delivery team. This is beyond the vendor's scope. However, we need to consider these facts as well. Now, how do we do that? For example, if we have vendors applying for our requirement from various parts of the world. Now, we need to look at the political stability, for instance, of a particular country where we evaluate vendors applying from those countries. For example, today the political situation in Africa is a little disturbing. So if I have to evaluate vendors from Africa and Asia competing for my contract, I will also need to consider the political stability of those countries before I award the contract, because that is beyond the control of the vendor and also beyond the control of the client organization. So these aspects need to be considered. However, once we decide to award the contract, we would also need to ensure that the vendor has a formidable business continuity and disaster recovery plan, and our vendor managers need to assess and review their continuity and recovery plans. Let's look at now the vendor relationship management. The three key factors of success when it comes to managing the relationship with the vendor: a joint approach to managing delivery, both the client and the vendor need to own the delivery. They need to be accountable for the quality and the service delivery. So they need to jointly own the project. It cannot be one party's deliverable. Okay, the client has outsourced to the vendor. Now it's their responsibility or their accountability. So if the project fails, it's the vendor who is accountable. No, it has to be a joint operations. So both need to own the project and the delivery. Openness and excellent communications. So as discussed, everybody needs to have an open and constructive environment where they can share the views, concerns, feedback about the performance. So once we start reviewing the vendor and we give a feedback to them in case their performance is not up to standard, it needs to be in an open environment. They need to consider that feedback as a constructive feedback and then take the feedback back, implement it, and improve upon the performance. Mutual trust and understanding. So if we lose trust and confidence in the vendor, or if they lose trust and confidence in the representatives of the client or the entire client organization, the quality of service will not be met because the commitment suffers. So once you lose trust in each other, the commitment towards the project takes a hit, which would directly impact, negatively impact the quality and the delivery of service. So let's look at some pointers for managing the relationship with vendors and service providers. How do we manage it effectively? The need to ensure that the relationship is championed at senior levels in both organizations. So this would particularly hold true when the client organization is a big organization, an MNC, an organization with a hierarchy-based organization, and we outsource it to a company, not an individual. So the stakeholders, the senior stakeholders, the owners or the CEOs, CXOs, COOs, the vice presidents, the directors, the senior managers at both organizations need to be involved in the project. So depending upon the complexity of the project, they may not be involved in day-to-day operations. However, they need to be involved in key stakeholder meetings. They need to be involved in the key reviews, be it monthly or quarterly reviews. They need to be the person who would approve the budget for a project. And they need to be committed towards the interests of the project. So you cannot have a project run successfully if the senior management is not committed towards the project. So you need to have senior level employees or executives involved in the entire selection, sourcing, procurement, and delivery process. Ensuring that governance arrangements are equitable and relationships are peer-to-peer. If not, imbalances will occur. What does this mean? This means that in case if somebody at the client organization is at a VP level and he is made to interact regularly with a junior executive at the vendor organization. So these two individuals come with different levels of experience, work experience, different levels of maturity, and different levels of vision when it comes to their overall organization or the project. So there is an imbalance, a vice president interacting day to day with a junior executive. That needs to be avoided. So it needs to be a peer to peer. So it's not that a vice president will only interact with a vice president. However, people with similar authorities in the respective organizations need to be interacting with each other. So it could be a vice president interacting with a manager, but the manager needs to have equal authority in his organization to be able to speak, interact, and meet the vice president of some other organization. So it needs to be a peer-to-peer interaction, so that there is no imbalance in meetings and communications. Roles and responsibilities should be clear. Avoid any ambiguity. So roles and responsibilities should be clear, and staff involved in managing the relationship need to be suitably empowered. They need to have the authority to take decisions. They need to have the authority and the confidence to represent their respective organizations. Let's look at some other pointers. A large number of formal management levels should be avoided. Not too many hierarchies, not too many approval processes. It needs to be agile. The entire flow and hierarchy needs to be agile. But some differentiation is required between the relationship management level and a strongly managed contract management level that acts in support and is subservient to it. So a relationship management level would happen at the level of the project manager or the relationship manager, both from the client organization and the vendor organization. So these are people or set of people who interact daily, who interact regularly. However, you need to also have a level for managing the entire contract. So it may be the chief legal expert of the organization, the CFO level CFO in terms of financial controls, depending for large projects and large organizations. But you need to have two separate levels, a relationship management and a contract management. This gives some seriousness when contractual terms are negotiated. So for example, for the relationship engagement, if you meet the project manager every day, or maybe every week, when the same person reviews you on key elements or the critical elements of the contract, you already would have developed a certain comfortable relationship with the project manager. Hence, the seriousness of the entire contractual meeting may get affected. So it's ideal that you have two levels. However, it should not be a very complex level of hierarchy. So you need to avoid that. It should not become too formal. However, the entire hierarchy for managing the project needs to be effective. And different people at different levels need to be involved in managing the relationship. It would depend upon the size of the project, the size of the organization, and the complexity of the requirement. Escalation routes should be understood and used properly. So as discussed earlier, you need to have an escalation matrix at both ends, at the client end as well as at the vendor end. So everybody needs to know who do we need to contact in case a feedback is not being adhered to, in case certain terms and clauses are not being met, in case of a dispute or a conflict. So an escalation matrix needs to be agreed to when the negotiation is happening before the contract is signed. So let's now come to contract administration. Contract administration, as we discussed earlier, is all about managing the terms, agreement, and clauses which have been agreed to when the work was awarded to the service provider. So contract administration is concerned with the mechanics of the relationship between the customer or the client and the vendor, along with the implementation of procedures defining the interface between them. So how does the entire delivery take place? What are the standards which they need to adhere to, be it in terms of quality, financial terms, or legal aspects? And the smooth operations of routine administrative and clerical functions. So from a legal perspective, from a commercial perspective, how is the entire delivery implemented? So this was agreed to. Is this being adhered to? Importance of contract administration to the success of the contract and to the relationship between customer and vendor. So relationship management, the interaction with the vendor, this would help in contractual management. However, you need to administer the entire contract. Is the statement of work being adhered to in terms of quality, in terms of compliance, in terms of cost? So be it the availability of resources, being adhering to an industry standard regulation, or be it to internet uptime. Are these clauses being met by the vendor? It required appropriate resourcing. So you need to have the right resources, one, to implement the contract and also to review the contract. Contract relationships evolve and must respond to the changes in the business environment. So as we discussed, the need to have a formal change control procedure, a change management procedure, the flexibility on the vendor's part, also on the client's part, to adapt to any changes in business environment or regulations by the government or industry, or feedback from the end customers and end users. So flexibility needs to be there, and a change management procedure needs to be there to respond to these changes and threats or risk elements. Change control procedure should be included. So we need to have a formal change management procedure. How do we communicate any prospective change in contract? How do we review it, and how do we approve it? If approved, how does that get implemented? Let's look at some ground rules in vendor engagements. What could be the possible ground rules? Establish and implement a vendor code of conduct. It would speak all about how do they interact, how do they follow certain policies with respect to information security, with respect to customer interactions, be it with respect to conflict resolution, do's and don'ts for the vendor employees when it comes to your outsourcing requirement. Register the vendor before interaction with senior management. So every organization has a vendor empanelment procedure where they check the vendor's qualification with respect to a lot of parameters. So vendor registration or empanelment should take place before they interact with senior executives or VPs of your organization. Use caution when allowing vendors to assist developing user requirements. So you need to monitor. Be cautious, but monitor. It should not be a free hand given to the vendor. Do not share budget information with vendors. You would not be sharing your company's financial terms or budgets or forecast with representatives of the vendor. Restrict vendor access to IT and business leaders. They should only be interacting to people they would need to for successful implementation of the contract. Nobody beyond that. Strictly adhere to your organization's policy on accepting gifts from vendors. Every organization, every key organization, a large organization has a policy when it comes to accepting gifts from vendors or clients. Need to adhere to that. This is more for corruption control, so that vendors do not bribe officials with gifts and rewards. Define specific contract points within your organization for vendor interaction and establish strict adherence. So who interacts with the vendor? When does the interaction happen? What would be the medium of interaction? What would be discussed in those meetings and reviews or audits? That needs to be documented for your representatives. So everybody in the vendor management office needs to have a clear role defined for every project. Create standardized meeting templates and guides to accurately record vendor interaction notes. It's all about having dashboard, templates, report formats, which needs to be standardized across delivery of different projects. More to make the entire implementation process specific and not reliable on certain individuals. For example, no matter who conducts the review should have a certain flow and every important point needs to be discussed. Recognize that different classifications of vendors require different rules of engagement. So as an organization, you may outsource small to big projects, from individuals to large IT or large service providers. So they would need different rules of engagement, from a tea vendor for your office cafeteria to an IT organization managing the entire IT network of your organization. These two would have different rules of engagement. You cannot have the same engagement rules with an IT company and a tea vendor. So identify the need as per the requirement, size, and complexity of the project. That would be all when it comes to managing relationships with the vendor. I'll see you in the next chapter. Thank you very much.